faithful financial stewardship. But part one, we're just going to start with that. So part one, we'll start with that. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Psalms 35:27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." John 10:10 says it this way, the thief's purpose, reading out of the New Living Translation, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus talking about himself, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus' purpose is. So we said last week, friends, and I want to remind you today that God's will for your life and my life is prosperity, not poverty. Everybody say, God's will,
God's will for my life
is prosperity. See, we see God's will identified in these three verses that we've just read and spoken to you. Through John, he's praying that we prosper in all things. And through the psalmist, in Psalms 35:27, the psalmist says he takes pleasure in our prospering. And through the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, he conveys his purpose and his intention for coming to the earth to prosper us. The fact that he was sent to bless us. Acts 3:26 says, "When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." So if he wants us to prosper in all things, spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally, and financially, and in this series, we're going to emphasize the financial side of prosperity and prospering. Because our collective church ministry, mission and mandate is to go, grow, and give. And we need prosperity to be able to do that.
Amen.
All right. Psalms 115, verse 15, reading out New King James Version, said this way, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children." Some very interesting other verses. I'm going to read that in a passage translation in just a minute. So God, friends, is saying, I want to increase you and not decrease you. So you have to get your mind renewed about who God is and the Lord is in your life in respects to your money and material possessions. Amen. Now, he doesn't want you to be covetous, but he doesn't mind you being rich and doesn't want you to be poor or operate in poverty. He wants you to be prosperous. That God's will is prosperity. Amen. The second part of this verse, Psalms 115, verse 15, says, this part of the verse conveys says that we are to do what we do has effects and consequences on others. He said, increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen.
Amen.
So whether good, bad, positive, or negative, what we do has an influence and an effect on everyone we know. Amen. Because you think about it, you know, in some of the old habits that people have and maybe perhaps still see what's going on, when you're really down and out and broke, busted, and disgusted, you tend to be looking for handouts and you're always looking for help instead of being the one who gives handouts and the one who is helped. Now, that's nothing wrong if you're temporarily there. But what I want to convey to you is don't stay there.
Amen.
And some of us grew up in families where you know, everybody borrowed money from each other because they're trying to make ends meet. God wants you to get you out of that rat race.
Amen.
Get you out of that doom loop or vicious cycle of always going down and underwater and behind and coming up short and then just barely getting your head above water. That's not thriving.
Amen.
That's surviving. God wants you to take you out of from surviving to thriving.
Amen.
Prosperity is thriving. Amen.
Amen.
Are you here with me?
Yes. Amen.
So God is saying that he wants you to do something that will have an impact on everyone who is close to you. Who's close to us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Passion Translation says this. I've been really enjoying some of the scriptures in the Passion Translation. Verse 14 and 15 of Psalms 115. It says, God himself will fill you with more. Blessings upon blessings will be heaped upon you and upon your children from the maker of heaven and earth, the very God who made you. So what is God's will concerning his finances for his people? Psalms 35, 27 says it, makes a summary of it. We read it before. I'll read it again. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say, continue, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Moffat's translation says it this way. God loves to see his servant prospering. Amen. What does God love? See you and us as his children, as well as his servants, because we are sons who serve. We are daughters who serve. We're not slaves who serve. Because some people look at Jesus as a hard taskmaster, and we're going to look at the parable of the talent and kind of dissect that a little bit and kind of unpack that a little bit and see that one talent guy looked at God as a hard taskmaster. You're making me have to tithe. And so they got bitter attitudes against God because they think God's trying to take something from us. Amen.
Amen.
But God's trying to bless us as his sons and daughters. If you saw the little image I sent out, you know, with the guy over that question mark, what does God want from me? Your time. I'll tell you, your talent and your treasure.
Amen.
You can't give one of the three. You can't give them two of the three. You got to give them all three.
That's right. That's good.
Because he wants you to prosper in everything you do. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we said last week, and I'll just review that just a little bit. Why does God want us to prosper? First reason why he wants you to prosper is to produce enough money to provide for the needs of your household. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know how many you know you could be accused of denying the faith? That means denying that you're even a Christian believer and Christ follower because you can't even take care of your own. God wants you to have enough money so you can take care of your own household.
Amen.
Second reason he wants you to prosper is to possess enough money to preach, partner, and provide for the gospel around the world. Amen. So we're talking about the why, the reason why God wants you to have more than enough for your own needs and be able to support the gospel, the preaching, the proliferation. Amen. The partnering with the gospel all around the world.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, how then shall they call upon them that have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Sending requires money.
Amen.
Amen. Your money sends Pastor Ed and Cynthia to this platform every week.
Amen.
Lately, it's been a little bit challenging because it's been a lot of money to be sent. I'm just being straightforward with you. Amen. Amen. Because we're not supposed to take up space, friends, until we go home and be with Jesus. How are preachers sent around the world to preach the gospel? Everybody say, with money.
With money.
Say it again, with what?
With money.
How do you send Pastor Ed every week?
Money.
Yeah, just don't think the money just to keep the lights on, keep the bills paid. Yeah, we do pay. We have to do that. We have to pay the landlord the rent money to use the facility. But you got to pray your preacher. You got to take care of your minister.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And when you choose not to prosper God's way by not paying your tithes and giving your offerings, you don't take care of your minister. You start to harass the minister. Amen. Start to hinder the minister. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible calls it muzzling the ox that treads out the corn. Praise the Lord. So we certainly need to walk in prosperity in order to have the funds to get it done and get it done with excellence. How do we do that? Everybody tithing and giving offerings obediently and willingly and freely. Why? Because we're in it we know that our increase, part of our increased purpose is not for all of our consumption, but it's also for our contribution to the proliferation, to the providing for the preaching and teaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Most people have a religious concept that, you know, everything in church is supposed to be free since we're nonprofit and all that. Well, we said to receive Jesus is free, but to follow Jesus costs you. So doing it with excellence, that means you're consistent, faithful with your stewardship of your time, your talent, and your money, your treasure. See, without funds, people who are poor have a difficulty going into all the world, and neither can they help send someone else. So if God requires every believer to help carry out the mission, it's called the Great Commission. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our responsibility as a church and your responsibility as an individual believer as a part of the church. You are in the great mission of God, called the Great Commission. Amen. And Matthew 28 tells us that we are to make disciples. Matthew 28:18. Go into all the world and make disciples, or teach all nations, it says in the King James. How are we going to do that? Everybody say, with money.
With money.
With money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all not getting excited about that. I'm going to get excited in a minute. Hallelujah. So God requires every believer to help to carry out the missions. So everybody say, God requires me to help carry out the mission
of preaching
and teaching and providing for the gospel. So then it must be his plan, his will, for his people to prosper. Because he can't give you an assignment without provision. Amen. God wants you and me to have enough money to be able to send people and support people to preach the gospel. Third reason why God wants us to prosper, so we have enough money to pay taxes. When the woman with the alabaster box in Matthew 22, and let's put up verse 21, if Matthew 22, 21, we see the account where Jesus was poured upon this oil by the woman with the alabaster box. It was worth a year's worth of wages. And Judas got all irritated and said, man, why do you take that money and give it to the poor? And of course, I'm skipping that. That's not that verse. This is the one about the taxes with the, they asked him a question. Sorry about that. So this is one where they asked him a question. And they asked him, you know, do we supposed to pay taxes? No, unfortunately, we said, some Christians, even believing, Bible-toting, tongue-talking Christians, cheat on their taxes, lie on their taxes. Well, we're not supposed to be trying to get around or get over on the government. He said, render to them who's due. He said, give whose subscriptions on that money? He said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and the things of God that's God. He was talking about taxes, and he was talking about tithing. The government wants your taxes, so you pay your taxes. And God requires the tithe. The Bible says in Leviticus, all the way in the beginning, the tenth is holy unto the Lord. So 10% of the money that you work for, that you got a paycheck for, 10% of it belongs to God. He put ownership on it. So he said, give God what's his, give Caesar what's his. Amen. The U.S. government wants, Uncle Sam wants your taxes, and God requires your tithe. Amen? Fourth reason why God wants you to prosper, to have enough money to take care of and give regularly to the poor. Proverbs 19:17 says it this way, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he's given. So we shouldn't sow into poverty, however, we should give to the poor, and we should give generously. That's why we start in a mercy ministry, because we should have enough to take care of our needs and left over to give to someone else in need.
Amen.
Proverbs 29, 22:9 says, he who has generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Poor is just a general umbrella term that means those that are hungry, homeless, helpless, hurting. Somebody that's unfortunate at that time. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. And Hebrews tells us, remember the poor. We ought to remember the poor. So sometimes we think, like I said, all the money that comes into us is, we money has a gravitational pull, per se, to give you what we call a consumption assumption. In other words, that everything comes into you is for your consumption. And if you choose to, every once in a while, you might put something out. But everything is not for your consumption that comes into your hand. Because everybody has the money test that they have to often pass. When do you have to pass that money test, friends? Every time money comes in your hand. If you get a bonus, you get a check in the mail, you get an increase somehow, honorarium, amen, you get a pay raise, you get a promotion. Come on now. You get a settlement. You get a lawsuit that goes in your favor. Hallelujah, that pays out financial dividends or settlement during that settlement. You get all of that. You get increased. Amen. 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 You have to pass that money test. That means you got to resist the consumption assumption that everything that comes in is for me and myself and I. Amen. And you got to say, this belongs to God. A portion of this belongs to God. You dedicate it to God. Amen. You dedicate it to God, then you give first to God. Because he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? First fruits. Come on, y'all. Y'all know that scripture. First fruits of what? All thine increase. First fruits of all thy increase. What happens is we dishonor the Lord by not honoring him at all, or we withhold honor because we say, well, God, I'm going to wait till everything gets paid up or taken care of, and then I'll think about you. That's not first. You putting God what? Last. The money test requires us to give God the top, the first, and the best. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some lessons from the parable. So let me just say this before we get into this. You can turn to Matthew 25 for a minute. I don't want to say this because let me say this as a point of reference or a point of understanding, because we're talking about prosperity. Because sometimes people get funny when you talk about money. I don't want you to get funny. I don't want you frowning at Pastor, because I'm trying to help you. My motivation purely before God and you is to see everyone in here double, triple, quadruple your increase. Amen. Not so you can be greedy and selfish and covetous and get everything you want. No, but so you can do the job that God's called you to do and purpose for the reason God wants you to prosper for the reasons and purpose God wants you to prosper, and for you to have enough to be able to be a blessing to the kingdom and to the church, amen, and to the things of God. Because the money test is the first test of your faithfulness. He said, if you can't be faithful in that which is another man, that which is least, he called money the least. But the money is the biggest deal with people. So we want to partner with you. We want to work side by side. If you're struggling, we don't want you to struggle. We can't afford you to struggle, because I preach the gospel and I live off this thing. And I can't have everybody broken here, and because pastor will go out and get another job. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. And there's a kingdom key. If you don't take care of the ministry and the minister, that church will struggle. It will become an inferior or a weak church. We don't want this church to be a weak church. There's more than enough working people and people who can work in this church to be able to enable the Lord to empower them to increase, prosper, and succeed. Amen. Not for just personal, private reasons. Yes, God wants you to have the best, drive the best, wear the best, live in the best. But he just wants you to go hog wild and your giving goes the other way.
That's right. Amen.
Preach it, Pastor. You're doing good. You're doing real good this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this before we go to Matthew 25. Thank you, guys, for putting that up there. We'll start there. Until you recognize God as your source, nothing else. This is what the Lord was highlighting to me last night, so I just got it written down here. Until you recognize God as your source, nothing in the Bible says about finances is going to work. So everybody in here has a choice to make. Is God going to be your source or other things going to be your source? See, as long as you're holding on to your money with a clenched fist and hoarding possessions, God's method of prospering won't work in your life. You have to change your mindset and recognize that God is the source of everything you own. Because, see, remember, money has that gravitational pull. And we said it will cause your heart to transfer its trust from God to it. Because you get to looking at the bank balance. You get to looking at the cars, the clothes, the furniture, the things you've accumulated, possessions, begin to possess you. That's when you know you got to start giving more, because that thing has got a grip on your heart. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And God had to challenge me with this. That's what I'm telling you. He said, am I your source? He said, I can only be your source and your only source. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So you have to change your mindset. Amen. And recognize that God is the source of everything you own, seeing yourself as a steward, managing the financial blessings that God has given you. That means you don't take ownership. You're just a steward of it. That's why we're talking about stewardship. Faithful, wise, financial stewardship. Because Psalms 24 says the earth is the Lord's and the what? That means everything belongs to God. Your job that you have right now is a gift from God. Your income is a gift from God. Your empowerment, enablement to work, and some of you may work two jobs or three jobs or have side jobs or side businesses, that comes from God. And you can't get to thinking that, well, this is mine. Amen. See, we see everything we own as being a result of our own sweat and toil and tears. Because of that, we have stingy, selfish attitude toward money. The first step to walking in financial prosperity and stewardship is to recognize you're not the source of your financial blessings. Those big checks you get on your paydays, those big commissions, those big blessings and honorariums, they ain't because you all that in the bag of chips.
Amen.
You see, one of the reasons we don't see greater prosperity in our lives if we haven't learned the lesson of being a steward. God puts all that in your hands to see what you're going to do with that. What you're going to do with that six-figure income. What you going to do with that $150,000, $250,000 a year? Are you just going to have a bigger this, a bigger that, that's all nicely cluttered up around your crib, around your house? Or is your giving record going to reflect? Because we said your giving money affects your heart, but it also reflects your heart.
Amen.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now let's read this. Thank you, John. Have it up. Thank you, guys. For the kingdom of God, this is a parable. Many of us are familiar with this. Kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who's called his own servants and delivered unto his goods to them. And the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, and to each one to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with him and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought the five other talents, saying, Lord, you've delivered unto me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, and he who had received two talents came and said to the Lord, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered down. You can see the whine in his voice, right? I'm just trying to dramatize a little bit. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, what you have is yours. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gather what I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he who has an abundance, we will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. Now, let me talk to you briefly, and we'll pick it up a little bit more next week, but briefly about multiplication and increase. Everybody say multiplication.
Multiplication.
And increase.
And increase.
That's the angle I want to convey to you in this talent, this parable here. There's a lot of different angles you can take, but just permit me to take that angle. And so the purpose for wise financial stewardship clearly seen in this account of the parable of talents. When we take a holistic viewpoint of this, we can comfortably ascertain that the Lord is desirous and directive in our stewardship responsibilities with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Now let me use the analogy here of time, talent, and treasure for just a minute. So time, making and investing the time to grow and give in our TDCC mission and mandate as it dictates that. Redeeming the time to give more of our time to the Lord for his use and his will. Redeeming the time means making the most of every day, making the most of every opportunity to seize the time for the Lord. Everybody say time.
Time.
See, with our time, we're either time killers. Everybody's got time to go do what they want to do. But when it comes down to what the Lord wants you to do, I don't have time. And quite frankly, friends, many of us haven't made the time or took the time to come on Wednesday. Because we say we're too busy, Lord. Too bothered, Lord. Amen. Time wasters, time squanderers. Because if you don't know, Jesus is coming back soon. We're running out of time. We got to be about our Father's business. And so you're employed by God and deployed by God to be a steward of your time. Amen. See, you could either be a time manager. That's a good place. Or a time redeemer. That's a greater place. See, with coming to church and the things of God, like prayer, investing time to study, meditating the word, reading the word, it's not a waste of time. Amen. Too often we spend more time on social media than we do in the Bible. That not be so. Many of us can play a game for 30 minutes, an hour, or even 2 hours without a break. And you can't do that in the Bible. Can't even pray 10 minutes. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good today. But you must make the time and take time. That's a decision of your will. Am I going to make God a priority with my time? You got to put in the time and put in the work to pray, preach, reach people with the gospel. They say, Barnum Research says, the average Christian today shares their faith 1.3 times a year. That means they don't take the time to even tell people about Jesus. They can't even tell two people. So we had to diligently guard our time to come to corporate worship, to schedule church service, because the Lord said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That means you got to manage your time. You got to redeem your time. Talent, our God-given gifts, talents and God-given abilities. 1 Peter 4:10, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. You can put up a New King James if you want. Let every believer who has received the grace gifts so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards. Everybody say, I have received grace gifts from God. So what are you supposed to do with them? To self-serve? No, others serve. Don't brag about how good you are, because every gift that you have comes from God, even your talents, your natural God-given abilities. Amen. It's not because you're all that and you got superior DNA or anything like that. You are blessed by the God. You are graced by God. He says, as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry in God, don't bury that talent. Don't hide that talent. Don't just use it for the its only energy and effectiveness and excellence is in your own personal endeavors. Use it to serve others, to be a blessing to others. We often say God didn't save you to sit, but he saved and washed away your sins, saved you and washed away your sins, filled you with the Holy Spirit to serve. Not only do you and I serve God with our time, but we also do it with our talent. Amen. Some people say, well, what is my talents? Well, the greatest ability is availability. You say, Lord, I'm yours to use me as you choose. And the gifts and callings will come forth as you put your hands to the plow. Hallelujah. We are to skillfully and wisely manage and faithfully cultivate and commit our God-given talents and gifts and abilities to serving God and serving others. You know, the Bible doesn't even say vote. It doesn't even use the word volunteer. So we're assigned, appointed, and anointed to serve God, our church family, with the goods that God, our Father, has placed inside of us to contribute and make and bring about multiplication and increase of the body. Amen. Ephesians 4:15 says that every joint is compacted. Everybody say, I'm a joint. You're supposed to be compacted. That means you are connected to one another. To do what? Maketh increase of the body. And work effectually to the building up of the body. So how hard do you work with the goods that God's put inside of you to be a benefit, a blessing, and a build up to the body? To bring increase to the body. Amen. And then with our treasure, our God-given resources, we certainly are to contribute and make multiplication increase with our finances and with our money. By making God our money, managing our money God's way, we generate increase to be a blessing to the church financially. So God's plan is multiplication and increase into your life. Everybody say multiplication. And increase. But this begs the question, why? Why does God want me to give me increase? Why does God care if I do important work and have an impact? Well, the answer, or you might even ask, why does God want to bless me? So you got to get out of that religious thinking that say, oh, well, God must not want me that blessed. No, he wants you really blessed. The answer is simple. It's twofold. One, first, he loves us. Everybody say, God loves me.
God loves me.
And then second, he wants to increase us and our children, and he wants to bless us so we can look at our life in the dimension he wants us to see. He wants us to see the greatness and goodness of God himself. Amen. Now, these are some four increase principles. Write these down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four increase principles that we need to understand. Like I said, we're going to pick it up every day. God wants to give you increase so you can have an impact. God gives you increase so that you can have impact. Principle number two, God gives you more so you can do more. Hard to do anything if you don't have anything. Hard to impact if you don't have nothing. You impact with your time, you impact with your talent, you impact with your money, your treasure. Principle number three, God gives you more so you can do more, not just so you can have more. Now let's even get more specific here. If you're giving, everybody listen to me. If your giving isn't trending up, then your impact isn't plateauing or flatlining or just staying the same, it's trending down. I'll say that again. If your giving isn't trending up, remember, the kingdom of God doesn't measure your worth and value by what you have. Most people post pictures or they talk about what they have, what they're doing. But the kingdom of God says that's no value. That's not of importance to us, the kingdom. The kingdom of God measures your worth by what you give. So the first real powerful litmus test or measurement of your worth and value is your giving level. If your giving level isn't trending up, it isn't plateauing or flatlining off, because some people get into a religious routine where they just give the same every time they turn around. They never stretch themselves, so they're giving like duty instead of devotion. They're not dedicating their faith for increase. God wants to increase you more and more. Amen. That's why if you're on CCB, you can look at your giving record. You can see if your trending is plateaued or flatlined or going down. But see, if your giving is not increasing, and I'm talking to everybody in this church, including myself, we got to look at my giving numerically, but more important, proportionally. You shouldn't just be a 5%er. You should be a tither, a 10%er. Then from 10%, you work your way up. Now, too often, people dip down. That's why it's important that you give personally, but you also give proportionally to how you're prospering. Hallelujah. It's good. I might have to listen to it myself again. Hallelujah. So when God gives you more resources and finances, it's not so you can just give the same as always and keep the increase for yourself. Because some people think, well, God's blessing me. The blessing is working in my hand. And so they've been given, let's say, at a level of $15,000 a year, $150,000. And then their income has gone up to $200,000 or $250,000. But their giving still stays at 150, or maybe a little bit more, not proportionally higher. I know this because Mark Hankins, one of our spiritual mentors, told the Lord talks to him every year how much he wants to give. That's part of the financial stewardship conversations he has with the God and the Holy Spirit. How much you want me to give this each year, each week, each month? He breaks it down. This is how much I want you to sow into the gospel this year. Now that brother's up in the half of millions. So many of us got a way to go. I'm talking about giving. His giving's into the half of millions. That's between him and his wife Trina. They're not giving into the 50,000 or the 10,000. They're giving in the half of millions. But see, if you get addicted to giving, God supports your habit. If you're tied in with God's stewardship, financial stewardship wise, he will cause increase to come because he needs you increasing because you're a giver. You live to give. You're not giving to get only. You're not trying to get something out of God only. You're trying to say, God, use me as an instrument of distribution and an instrument of generosity where I can give. And we say, God can get it to you if he can get it through you. Amen. So everybody needs to pay attention to their giving. Now, some of y'all fall asleep. You need to stand up. This is important. Don't fall asleep when I'm talking about money. Hallelujah. When God gives you more resources, finally, it's not so you can have the same, keep the same increase for yourself. He gives you increase so that you will have even more to give. He gives you increase so that you can do something more for God. Now, principle number four. This is the fourth one. God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can. I'll say it again. God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can. Hallelujah. So it's so easy to tempting to skip over this principle, but we simply cannot ignore it. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:6, you guys put that up there. We each have a part to play. So I planted, Paul, Apollos waters, but God gave the what? Increase. So sometimes we're trying to think about what God's going to do. Well, you got to do your part. One person planted the seed, the other did their part. Another person did their part and watered the seed. That's when God came and gave the what? Increase. God has given each of us a part to play. Amen. Now let's talk about this parable of the talent for a minute. I want to give you four things to take away today. Y'all good?
Yes.
Just give me a couple seconds here. A couple of minutes. We see five talents and two talent servants both generated multiplication and increase. Say it with me,
multiplication
and increase is the expectation of God and the Lord for me. All right? That's the first thing we need to do. Multiplication, because what happened? The five talent brought five more talents. Two talent brought two more talents. Second, we see the first talent servant didn't generate any multiplication nor any increase. So the talent is literally this. In a couple years ago, it was estimated that a talent was worth $1.2 million. This is a talent of gold, literally speaking. So the average wage rate, $50,000 a year, that's 24 years of salary. Now, allow me to submit to you that this talent also symbolizes, metaphorically, in light of our mission to go, grow, and give, as our evangelism potential in going, our enlargement and expansion potential in growing, our earnings potential in giving. In other words, in going, if you have five talents, the potential to win or lead five people to the Lord. If you have two talents, the potential is to win or lead two people to the Lord. If you have one talent, the potential is to win or lead one person to the Lord. With growing, if you have five talents, meaning the capacity and the capabilities by God, given by God, you have the potential to grow five times more than where you are now. If you have two talents, you have the potential to grow two times as much as you are now. If you have one talent, you have potential to grow more than where you are now. Now, with giving, your five talents, you earn your income potential is a millionaire level. Because $1.2 million over times five, you get to making a lot of money then. Amen. Seven figures per year or more. Two talents, your earnings income potential is perhaps six figures, $100,000 a year or more. That means you have to believe for it. You don't just work, toil, and sweat for it, you believe for it. Some of you underbelieving your earnings potential. Because it's not about you having all the ducks in a row, what the world wants, it's about having favor and strength and help from God. That's called grace. Amen. So you can make and call in $150,000 a year. Easy. Easy. But you got to see God as your source. You can't look at that job, that corporation, as the one that's going to try to get you there. You're going to be waiting a long time. I hope I'm stirring your heart today a little bit. Hallelujah. With one talent, at least you're at the $50,000 potential earnings income per year. You're not at the poverty level. So there should be nobody poor. Amen. Third, the third lesson we want to learn is that one talent servant was told something different than the other two. He was called wicked, lazy, and further down in the chapter, we didn't read it, but it says, cast the unprofitable servant. So he was called wicked and lazy and unprofitable. Notice the others didn't have to explain or make excuses, but you always have to explain and make excuses when you're wicked and lazy. I'll let that sit for a minute. You always have to explain and make excuses when you're wicked and lazy. Amen. Wickedness is a result of evil. Evil is anything that takes you from away from your God-intended purpose. I'll say it again. Evil is anything that takes you away from your God-intended purpose. See, if it's a distraction to you, then it is evil to you. If it is a distraction to you, it is evil to you. If it's a distraction of taking away your time, your talent, and your treasure from serving God faithfully, then it's evil to you. Most people won't miss a game or miss things that they have scheduled in their family affairs, but they'll miss opportunities to serve God with their time, talent, and treasure. And they think, well, that whole thing about, well, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, it's okay, God'll take care. No, it's not okay. You're accountable and you're responsible to be a faithful steward. Hallelujah. Now, we said Wednesday night, we used the word, we quoted the scripture, we studied, we really got into Philippians 4, 1 through 5. In verse 5, it says this, I think John will put it up there. Let your gentleness or moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, this has nothing to do with the sins. Paul wasn't referencing sin, but people get into indulgences. Everybody say indulgences. So they overindulge in what? Food, clothes, cars, houses, entertainment, and leisure activity. So they make a big deal of everything they're doing. Probably anybody posts Facebook pictures without saying, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm eating, this is how I look when I'm going there. So they're overindulging in those things. But the Bible says, let your moderation or gentleness be made known to all men. That means they put things in the center and take the Lord out of the center. The Lord should be the center point and the focal point of your life. So if it's causing you a distraction of your time, your talent, and your treasure, your money to the Lord, then it's evil to you, and you need to be cautious about that. Now, I know everybody might not like that, but I say it because I love you and I want to help you. Amen. When the Bible uses God's characteristics, it never gives responsibility without accountability. So we're accountable for what I'm eating, what I'm wearing. I rarely on Facebook, but when I go on there, I can't see so many pictures about food. People taking pictures of what they're eating and put it on Facebook. Because it's called overindulgences. They drift and slip into those areas of what I'm wearing. Look at me. Look at where I'm going. I'm going to get entertainment. I never see anybody take a picture and say, I'm coming to church. This is a call for stewardship today. The fourth point is to generate, multiplicate, and increase. You need to be faithful stewards of the money and the resources God's entrusted into our lives. Now, we said there's five elements of stewardship. I'm closing with this. Number one, the job. We're going to get into it more next week. I'll just give you the headliners. Why do you need to have a job? To generate increase or an income. Now, people sometimes say, well, I don't have a job to go to. That don't mean you stay at home and stay on your phone all day and surf the internet all day and be lazy and watch TV all day. You have a job. When Sister Gloria stayed at home and her husband was working in the ministry and trying to get the ministry, her job was, she said, my job was pray for him 8 hours a day. For what? Increase of that ministry. Increase of that ministry assignment. that's on their lives. While she folding up clothes, praying. Amen. While she running around with the kids, playing. While she doing the dishes, praying. Amen. We don't want to be categorized like the one talent, Christian, wicked and what? Lazy. Lazy people don't want to work. And laziness, the Bible says in Proverbs 6, that lazy man will clothe, poverty will clothe a man like an armed man if you're lazy. Laziness tends to poverty. That means if you don't have a job, your job is to pursue God and to pray to God and to encounter God about what do you want me to do. You have a prayer assignment.
Amen.
So he has something for you to labor into. It could be labor and prayer. Prayer is a form of spiritual. Then you generate increase on income, and then the tithe. To comply with Christ's commands, to be willing and obedient and obey and serve him, to create opportunities for more increase, more income, more God ideas, godly investments, and godly inventions, and to cause the blessing to minister and manifest in your life. The blessing ought to be working in everyone's life. Amen. Generating power, peace, provision, and protection, as the word articulates that. And then the third element is the budget. You need a budget. Live on a budget. Amen. Budget is not a curse word. To manage and monitor your needs and wants with excellence, and to prevent sinning financially, or being slothful financially, or slipping into indulgences. Financially, where you're spending more time, resources, and money to entertain and take care of your natural cravings and desires, your fleshly desires.
Amen.
That called food, clothes, shelter, your house, you fixing up everything for yourself, leisure, your leisure lifestyle, and your entertainment. That's a big deal with people. And it's a big deal where God said, don't get too overindulged in that. Don't mind you having nice stuff, but don't spend all your time talking about it and do it focusing on that. Number four is the seed. The seed is to operate our faith and our focus and our faithful faithfulness in God's laws of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. They are there. You can't ignore them. They're at work, whether you realize it or not. These laws of increase are always at work. And so you're supposed to be doing it wisely and intelligently, but also faithfully, operating in God's laws of giving and receiving. So you're always reaping and sowing. Sowing and reaping. Giving and receiving.
Amen.
Because God gives you seed to sow. He gives seed to the sower, bread for the food. And then fifthly is the vision. So you maintain and manage and your excellent pursuit of your God-given giving, living, sowing, saving, and investing goals. Everybody should have goals. Those are bite-sized pieces of a vision. Amen. Your giving goals this month may be different. You have to ask the Lord, or it may be the same as what he told you may have all year. Everybody has giving goals. Everybody should have living goals. What do you want me to buy? What do you want me to live? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to sow? What do you want me to save? God is your source, but he's also your manager. Your boss. He's the boss. He's the owner. You manage what he's given you. Money is meant to be our servant, but not our master that rules over us. Luke 12:42, closing with that. You guys can all stand. And the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward who his master will make ruler over his household to give them the portion of food in due season? Praise God. Hallelujah.